I'm going to use the 8th chapter of Luke for our main text, but I shall also be referring to the 5th chapter of Mark. If you want to find both scriptures, Mark also gives us an account of the woman who touched the Lord. Great crowds followed the Savior. He often found it difficult to move through the streets because of the number of people that blocked his way. We're told here that a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came to the Lord Jesus and told him that his daughter was dying. He wanted him to come and heal her. And our Lord started to the man's house, and the crowd just engulfed him. Peter said, "The multitude throng thee and press thee." Thousands of people were all about him, and they were pressing upon him. Yet, out of all of this excitement, this impressed me. Out of all of this excitement, multitudes and crowds, how many of them actually really came to know and to trust and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and actually touched him? Out of all of these multitudes, how few really touched him? You know, the apostle wrote, "Many are called, many have religious impressions and probably religious interest and zeal." Paul talked about those people in Romans chapter 10, he said they have a zeal of God. And as our Lord moved down these streets toward Jairus' house, and this great crowd just engulfed him, thronged him, pressed upon him, thousands of them. On this particular day, this multitude gathered about him until Peter said, "The multitude throng thee and press thee." But I can't find but a thing said about them. I find in the word here it says, "Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me." Peter said, "Why do you ask who touched me when the multitude throngs thee, the crowd presses upon thee?" The Lord Jesus said, "Somebody got in touch with me. Somebody communicated with me. I perceive that power, that virtue is gone out of me." Is this story not repeated over and over again almost every Sunday? Here's the master. Here's the multitude. All of them press upon him. They have excitement, zeal, impressions, and interest. But nothing is written about any of them. Nothing is said about any of them except one somebody out of that whole crowd. Somebody touched me. And I think of the multitudes that are going to the churches and cathedrals and tabernacles and temples and chapels throughout this day. They come, they assemble, and they go away. How many of them out of that vast multitude, how many of them actually touch him? Here and there, I believe somebody or somebody's left weeping over sin. Here and there in this vast multitude, this tremendous crowd, somebody has come in touch with the Lord. Somebody. Out of this great multitude and crowd, I believe somebody has heard him say, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Wouldn't it be wonderful if out of the crowd assembled here this morning that somebody will really touch the Lord? You see that picture? It impresses me. Some people go to church, you know, because their religion commands it. Some go because their custom demands it. Some go to be seen or to see or to socialize. Some go for religious refuge from judgment. Some go to hear a man. But this woman came to touch the Lord. That's what she's doing there. She had one purpose for being in that crowd. She said, "Oh, if I may but touch the border of his garment." She went there to touch the Lord, and she touched him, and she went away blessed. Religious interest is not hard to find. I think every natural man has an interest in the supernatural. I think every natural man has an interest in death and judgment and hell and heaven and what's going to take place. I think every natural man has an interest in who is God, or what is God, or where is God, or why is God, or something about God. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the claims that he had made and had been made about him brought the crowd. The sensationalism of the healings and all of these things brought the crowd. They came. They left their homes and they came to where he was. But somebody touched him. And nothing is said about all these people. Nothing. Nothing is recorded about all these people except they were there. But out of that crowd, somebody, our Lord just stopped. And he says, "Somebody touched me." And Peter said, "Well, Master, the people are pressing against you, and there's thousands here. Why do you ask a question like that? Who touched me?" He says, "Somebody touched me." Power, virtue. There's been a communication between me and somebody. The Lord knew it. That woman knew it. Nobody else knew it. It went unseen, unrecognized, unheralded. But he says, "Somebody touched me." I don't even know her name. It doesn't really matter. Christ knew her. Her name's not recorded in the Bible, but you can be sure it's recorded in heaven. "Somebody touched me." The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows the somebodies. Because God's electing love rests upon the somebodies. The Lord Jesus' redeeming blood was shed for the somebodies. The Holy Spirit of God has wrought an effectual work in the somebodies. Oh, to be a somebody. That's all. Somebody. The crowd was there. They came from everywhere. They had enthusiasm and excitement and zeal and interest. They wanted to know something about this great teacher, this great man. "Tell me something about him, about his kingdom and about what's going to happen and all these things." But out of that vast multitude of which nothing is written or even remembered, God recorded two or three times in this book, "Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me." I want to look at four things about this somebody. As I said, we don't know her name. It really doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus knew her. But the first thing I note about this somebody is what she did. It says in verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped." The first thing I note about this woman is this. She had resolved in her heart not to die if she could find a cure for her problem. Now, her life was ebbing away. She had had this problem for 12 years. 12 years. And yet she was a determined woman. She said within her mind and within her heart, "I have a serious disease. I have a serious problem. This problem will ultimately drain my life away if I don't find a cure. But if a cure is to be found, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it." That's just like you and I saying, "I am a sinner. if there's salvation, I'm going to find it. I am a lost soul. If a lost soul can be saved, I'm going to be saved. I am a guilty sinner, but if guilt can be washed away, it shall be mine. I have a sinful heart, but if a hard heart can be turned into a broken heart, then I'm going to have it. I will not rest until I'm healed. That was her attitude. She was determined. She said, I have a serious problem. It is going to destroy me. I am determined to find a cure. I am determined to be healed. I am determined to have this blood flow stop. So what did she do? Well, she did what most people do. She did the most reasonable thing, I suppose. She went to the physicians. That's what it said. She went to the physicians. Now, physicians are men set apart to deal with physical infirmities and problems. So the woman went to the men who were trained to help her. She went to the men who were supposed to be able to help her. But they could not help her. It says she had an issue of blood, 12 years. She spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any of them. When the woman realized she had a serious illness, she determined, if there's a cure anywhere, I'm going to find it. So the first thing she did, she went to people who claimed to be able to help her. And this is the course usually followed by sinners who discover that they are sinners and who long to be saved. What do? They turn to the church. After all, that's what the church professes to be here for, to help sinners. They turn to the preachers. They turn to the preachers. They turn to the cardinals. They turn to the bishops. And they say, you're educated, you're trained in the things of religion. I'm a sinner. I need help. Now help me. And they meet with the same problem this woman met with. They couldn't help her. They couldn't help her. You know why they can't help her? The first thing is they didn't understand her disease. And the reason religious leaders and Sunday school teachers and most preachers cannot help the lost sinner, the evil sinner, is because they do not understand the need, the disease, the condition, the depraved heart, the evil imagination, the depths of sin, the rebellious will. The average preacher does not know what happened in the garden. He does not know the results of the fall. And consequently, he cannot help the sinner. These physicians to which this woman went, they didn't understand her disease. They didn't understand her problem. They were helpless. They could not help her. Her problem was not an outward problem. It was an inward problem. And they couldn't deal with it. And they couldn't help her. And the remedies they prescribed only touched the outside. They only touched the flesh. One of them said, take hot baths. One of them said, exercise. One of them said, do this, that, and the other. All of these things only touched the outward part. Her disease was within. Her problem was within. And we go to these preachers today, and they say, be baptized. They say, take communion. They say, make a decision. They say, join the church. They say, turn over a new leaf. They say, do the best you can. They prescribe all of these remedies. Make clean the outside of the cup. But our problem is within. Our problem is a root. It's a nature. It's a seed. It's a person. It's an old man. It's a spirit. It's a being. It's an attitude. It's an enmity between us and God. And the religious man can't touch it. And he doesn't realize that only the hand of God can heal. It's impossible with men. Only the hand of God can make whole. Only the hand of God can regenerate. And this woman, she realized her problem. She had a
a disease that was draining the life out of her and was destroying her. And the first thing she did, she turned to the people who had their shingles hung out, M.D. They couldn't help her. They didn't understand her disease, and all the remedies that they prescribed couldn't touch her disease. It couldn't get to the source of her disease. It couldn't get to the root of her disease. And she spent everything she had. She spent everything she had. Turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 26, and listen to what it says here. No pretense on the part of this woman. She spent everything she had. No hypocrisy here. She was dedicated to finding a cure. She was so resolved that she spent everything she had for 12 years. She was sincere. She wasn't playing at this thing. She was dying and knew it. And she wanted to be healed, and she spent everything she had. Verse 26 of Mark 5 said, and she suffered many things of many physicians. These people wouldn't admit they couldn't help her. Some of them might have been sincere. I don't know. But they would admit that they couldn't help her. And she suffered. What did she suffer? Mostly disappointment. I'm sure she suffered through some of their rituals and through some of their quack remedies. I'm sure that they put leeches on her and bled her and probably cut her flesh and bled her and probably put her through all kind of rigorous things that caused her pain, but she suffered mostly disappointment. And I think that's what happens to some of you. You get to realize that there's something wrong between you and God, that you have an evil heart, an evil nature, a sinful heart, a sinful nature. And you want to be saved. You want to be redeemed. You want to have a relationship with God. You want an interest in Christ. And you go to these folks that have their shingles hanging out, D.D., T.H.B., Master of Divinity. And you say, you're a physician of souls? Yes, sir. I'm a doctor of souls, you know. Well, help me. Well, he doesn't understand your disease, and he prescribes that you knock on doors and witness, or prescribes that you tithe, or prescribes that you get baptized, or prescribes you to join the church. And you do all these outward things, and you just get all fired up with religion and zeal, and you sing in a quartet, and you play an instrument, and you teach a Sunday school class, and you get to be a deacon, and you do all these things, and it's still down here. That old issue is still there. That old wretched heart's still there. That old evil nature's still there. And that's so disappointing. You know, I imagine that some of these fellows prescribed some things that helped this woman temporarily. A good hot bath makes anybody feel better. Maybe a good night's rest makes anybody feel better for a while. Maybe when people join the church, you know, they feel good for a while, but the disease is still there. The problem's still there. The evil heart's still there. They were not reluctant to take her money, although they couldn't help her. This is what distresses me. I say some of them may have been sincere. I don't know. But this blessed dear heart for 12 years spent all of her living and was no better. Was no better. In fact, she actually grew worse. And our Lord said that. He warned these false preachers. He said, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte to your religion, and after you've made him, he's twofold more the child of hell than you are. Bless her heart. She was so sick. She was dying. She knew it. And she'd gone to the people who were supposed to help her, who professed to be able to help her, whose business it was to help, to heal, to cure, and they couldn't help her because they didn't know what was wrong with her, and the remedies they prescribed couldn't touch her disease, and she spent everything she had. She was so dedicated and determined and sincere, and she was disappointed on every hand. The disease was still there after she'd gone through all the rituals and rigmarole of their quack remedies. Look back at Mark 5. Something happened. Let's see what somebody did at last. Somebody. It says, verse 27 of Mark 5, when she heard of Jesus.
Oh, blessed day. Blessed day when a sinner, by God's grace, hears of Christ. It looks like that some of these physicians of souls this morning would be preaching the physician of souls, the Lord Jesus. She heard about Christ. Somebody among the thousands of advisors finally told her about Christ. Men are not going to look to Christ or call on Christ until they hear of Christ. Do we realize that? Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" This woman, dying, frail, pale, weak, wasted, now broke, disappointed. Somebody came along one day and said, "Elizabeth, I know somebody can heal you. I know somebody. Elizabeth, man can't help you. All of these remedies can't meet your need and heal your disease. Elizabeth, I've heard about a wonderful person named Jesus of Nazareth. And many believe he's the Messiah. Many believe that he's the Christ. Many believe he's the one of whom Moses wrote, that prophet. Many believe that he is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Many believe that he is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. That he's the son of David for whom we look. Many believe that. Elizabeth, I believe it. And people have been healed by touching him, by coming in contact with him." And dear Elizabeth said, "Is that true?" And the woman said, "It's true." "Oh," she said, "if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'm determined. I'll go to Jesus though my sins like mountains round me rose. I know his courts I'll enter in, whatever may oppose. I'll to the gracious king approach, whose scepter mercy gives. Perhaps he will receive my touch, and then the sinner lives. I can but perish. If I go, I'm resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I'll forever die." And she, the scripture says, she heard of Christ, and she came to him. Now, she didn't come to Peter. Oh, I know how intrigued we can become with men. Americans are hero worshipers. They've got to have their war heroes and their sports heroes and their religious heroes. And they got their heroes' pictures in their Bibles and their names. Billy Graham puts out his own Bible now, the Billy Graham Bible. Got his name and signature, and everybody worships heroes. And I know how intrigued we can become with men and how intrigued we can become with historical places. People want to go to the Holy Land, and they want to touch the tomb and touch Calvary and touch something else. We can become so intrigued with those things, old things, religious things, relics, historical things. But this woman said, "I got to get to him. To him. I must get to Christ. I must get to Christ." That's what she said. "If I may," verse 28, she said, "if I may touch but his clothes," look at the faith, "I shall be whole." Here's the Lord walking down the street, and the multitudes all around, thousands and thousands, and there's excitement and they're saying all these things. "Over here, over here, over here. Hail, King of the Jews. Are you the Christ?" And on and on and on. "When are you going to set up your kingdom? What shall be the sign of your coming? What shall be the end of the world? What, when, where, and how?" And our Lord just pressed on through them. And finally he stopped. He said, "Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me." Peter shook his head and he said, "Lord, I don't understand you. People around here, hundreds and thousands of them, and they've pressed up against you and pushed you so you can't hardly take a step. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" He said, "Somebody touched me. Somebody. We know who it was.
Oh, bless her heart. 12 years she'd been waiting for this moment. She'd tried all the religions and the baptisms and the laying on of hands and the speaking in tongues and the excitement and the dream. She'd read all the tracts and she'd gone to all the revivals and the Bible conference and everything else. And these folks had told her to do this and do that and do something else and do the other. And finally somebody one day told her about Christ. He died for sinners. He arose for their justification. He intercedes for their redemption. If you can get to him, if you can lay hold upon him, if your heart can get in touch with him, you'll be made whole. And bless her heart, she determined. She pushed them all aside. I imagine she crawled there. She was so weak. But he was coming by, and she was so anxious. And when he came by, she just reached out and touched the Lord. And immediately she was made whole. She touched him secretly. Let me tell you something. She wasn't supposed to be there. No, sir, not according to Leviticus chapter 15. According to the Levitical law, she was supposed to be confined to her house, and she knew it. That's right. That's what it says. She's supposed to be confined to her house. She had a deep sense of her unworthiness, her uncleanliness. That's what they were called, unclean, this particular problem. She had no right to be in a crowd. She was supposed to be at home. And you and I got no right to be in his presence either. We're unclean. We're unclean. We have no rights. We have no claim on Christ. We have no worthiness. We're under condemnation. But she came. She dared to come. As a beggar, as an unclean beggar, she dared to reach out and touch the Lord. And what happened to old somebody? Well, let's look at Mark 5 again. What happened? It says here that somebody touched me. And somebody, straightway, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press, in the crowd, in the multitude, and he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Well, she was made whole immediately, not gradually. Not gradually. To come to Christ is to be saved immediately. Not at some future date, not in eternity, but right then. As soon as she touched the Lord, she was made whole. You see what I'm saying? Now, I don't work out any four steps to salvation. Repent. Believe, confess, and be baptized. If you ever get in touch with Christ, you'll be healed. Secretly, personally, privately. If your eyes ever turn and look to Christ, I'm not talking about these fleshly eyes, I'm talking about eyes of faith. If you ever see the Son in His glory, in His redemptive power, in His beauty, if you ever look to Christ, you'll be healed. There's no steps to it. There's no gradual process to it. There's no you do this and God will do that to it. It's look unto me and be you saved. You know what it said, John? You look to me. Now, I don't care how weak and weary you are. He said, "Come unto me, all you that weary and heavy laden." I don't care how pale and wasted you are. I don't care how wicked and unclean you are. I don't care how long the disease has gripped you. I don't care how many failures you have experienced and how much disappointment through which you've gone. If you can but touch Christ, you'll be made whole. Look to me. Look to me. Peter can't help you. James and John can't help you. The Bible can't help you. The baptismal pool. All of these relics and ruins of religion. You can go to the Holy Land till you spend all your money and wear yourself out. But if you can secretly, like this dear woman, reach out and touch the Lord. Not with these hands, but with hands of faith. With empty hands, with weary hands, with shaking hands, with unclean hands. The great physician has healing in his wings. He is light. When the darkness comes in contact with the light, the darkness goes. That's right. Just as soon as death touches life, death is gone, because life prevails. That's right. Just as soon as your sins come in contact with His cleansing, atoning, redeeming blood, your sins disappear, because the blood maketh atonement for the soul. I wish we'd quit running around to these physicians that can't heal, can't give you anything but heartache and disappointment, and get to Christ. Now, wait a minute. Luke chapter 8 again. And the Lord said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Many touch." He says, "Somebody touched me." Verse 47, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people why she had touched him." What did our Lord do? He brought this woman to a public confession of her faith. That's right. Our Lord has no secret disciples. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you. He wouldn't leave. She was saved in secret. She was healed in secret. I don't tell you come down to front and be saved. I don't tell you to be baptized and to be saved. I tell you look to Christ and be saved, and then you confess Him in baptism. Our Lord wouldn't leave her. She crept from the corners and from the darkness and in secret, and she reached out and touched Him, and she was healed. But He wouldn't leave it there. He could have gone on, but He stopped. He says, "Somebody, come on out, somebody." And somebody came out, and he said, "Why'd you touch me?" And she said before all the people, "Lord, I've been so sick all these years, dying. Nobody could help me. And I heard about you, and I believed what they told me. I believed the good news, and I just knew in my heart if I could touch you, I'd be made whole. I just knew that. And Lord, I know I'm not worthy and I'm unclean, but I touched you. And I've been made whole." And that's when our Lord gave her assurance. In verse 48, He didn't give her assurance until that public confession was forthcoming. And then He said to her in verse 48, Luke 8, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Are you a somebody who's weary and worn and heavy laden? A somebody whose disease is so deep-seated that nothing and nobody's ever been able to touch it? With all your resolutions, with all of your religious interest, with all of your studies and all of your memorizing scripture and all of your doctrine, it's never been touched. You've never had peace. You've never felt that disease to be put away. You've never felt a communication with the living God. Why don't you go to Christ? Won't you quit playing church and turn to Christ? Why don't you quit trying to find what cannot be found? And that is healing in the arm of the flesh. And why don't you look to Christ? Reach out and touch the Lord. Let's sing that carefully. Reach out and touch the Lord while He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. All this old vast multitude, He's too busy for them. They don't want Him anyway. But somebody, He said, "Somebody touched me." You got time for them. Somebody touched me. I want to touch the Lord this morning, don't you? I tell you, it's so distressing. Isn't it distressing to you, the religion, the phony physicians of souls, the people making merchandise out of folks? They're spending all their living. They're spending their Social Security checks and their little bit that they got, and they're not being fed, and they're not being healed, and they're not being held. That's so tragic. Under God have mercy on them, and He won't. They're not reluctant to take the people's money, but they can't help them. They can't help. Salvation's free. It's in Christ. It's free grace. You don't buy it, earn it, merit it. It's free. Just touch Him. Just reach out and touch the Lord. Don't go anywhere for salvation where it costs you, because it's free. Don't go anywhere for salvation where you feel obligated. It's free. Don't go to any human being to help you find the Lord. He's right in your heart. He's on your lips. The very word you use, Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing, reach out and touch the Lord. When you say the word Lord, salvation right there on your lips. It's up to you to receive it. That's right. Let's stand and sing.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Touch the Lord as He goes.
They're all over the world, religious congregations with excitement and emotion and zeal and enthusiasm and doctrines and tradition and customs and ordinances, just like they were as He walked down that street. But that somebody touched Him. That somebody touched Him. Would to God that you this morning in your need would be that somebody and touch the Lord. Not me, not anything you can see or feel or hear, but Him who is everywhere, who died on that cross, was buried and rose again. Touch Him by faith. Sing it one more time.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply.
I'm going to speak tonight, the Lord willing, on a cure for heart trouble. There is a cure for heart trouble. I'll be speaking on that subject tonight. I'll ask Frank Tate to dismiss us in prayer.